This is Neil Whiteside.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
The month of October, our charity of the month has been the Richmond Fellowship, and we've been finding out all about the work. Now, it's amazing. It's a charity that seems to have its fingers in quite a few pies and doing a lot of things. I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by Felicity Gibson. Felicity, hello.
Hi.
Now, you're involved on the supported housing side of what Richmond Fellowship do, yeah?
Yeah.
Tell us about that then. How does it work? What do you do?
So we work with vulnerable young people aged 16 to 25, and they come from all different sort of walks of life. So they could be coming from a hospital setting, street homelessness, relationship breakdowns from families, not able to return home for any sort of reason, sometimes care homes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we take them in and support them for sort of a maximum of 2 years to give them practical living skills so that they can live independently.
Okay, so this isn't just a roof over their heads.
This is
okay. And presumably 16 to 25, that's quite a transitional time, isn't it, for most young people?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably just at the point where you're leaving school in some way, shape or form,
yeah.
Through to, you know, any, you know, mid-20s. Crikey, I was married in my mid-20s. So it's quite an interesting time, isn't it, to be working with these people. What sort of skills do you try and give them? How do you try and help them then?
So sometimes it can be quite challenging because sometimes, you know, like you said, it is a transitional period. So some people are having to deal with sort of their difficulties, be that learning difficulties and mental health difficulties, but then also, you know, everything that comes with being a teenager, which, you know, like I said, can be difficult. So we've got quite a vigorous sort of referral process, so we try and make sure that people are in houses that are going to get along with each other. We also try and match them up with a recovery worker that's going to have sort of the style of work that's going to work for them. So
right.
That's why it's quite nice to have, you know, we've got younger people on the team and then people that have got more experience.
Okay.
So that works quite well.
So how many people do you look at any one time?
So we're 19 bed.
That's not all just in one big house, is it? So they're spread across.
Yeah, so they're sort of normal looking houses,
mm-hmm.
Sort of 2 to 4 bedrooms, and they share communal areas. And then we work out of sort of our office space and meet them out in the community, appointments at the office, whatever suits them really.
Okay, so within, as you're saying, within those buildings, in these houses, you've
mm-hmm.
got 2 or 3. As you say, you must have to really sort of watch your step a bit as to what mix you put together.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to put 2 people that are going to be catalysts to each other, because it's just not going to be positive for anyone. You know, they're supposed to be coming here as a safe space from where they could have potentially had to flee from. So, you know, we want it to be positive for everyone, and we want them to have that solid foundation to then build up into going onto, say, independent living, university, jobs, anything really.
Okay, you've been doing this, you say, since the 80s, is that right?
So. Well, not me personally.
No. Also, you're far too young. But as an organisation, you've been doing this since.
Yeah, so Castle Service has been up and running since the 80s. But Richmond Fellowship, I think it's 1959, so...
Wow. Yeah. So you've been doing it a long time. So you must have some good stories in amongst there. You must have some real success stories in amongst all those.
Yeah. I'd like to think that, you know, everyone that leaves us goes on to carry on with that positivity.
Do you get that feedback from them?
Yeah. So we do try and keep in contact with people. We've had a couple that have moved on and they keep in contact. They call every once in a while and tell us how they're doing, which is quite nice. Yeah, we've had quite a few success stories recently, so it's been really good.
Yeah? I mean, do you find it easier to work with someone who's younger, or is it when they get to 25, you know, or in their 20s, is that easier to work? Or is that just a stupid question because actually everyone's an individual?
There's no such thing as a stupid question. But I think it isn't about the age range, it's about them wanting the support. So, you know, a therapeutic relationship doesn't work if you've got one side of it wanting to give support and then the other side not willing to accept it. So the people that come to live with us, they sort of need to be in a position to be able to accept support. We're quite flexible around our young people. We don't tell them what support they should be having.
Right.
They tell us what support they need, which, you know,
And have you seen a real change now? Because talking about, especially mental health issues and learning difficulties and things like that, it's only really been, or it seems to me it's only been the past few years that we've actually really gone, do you know, it's okay to talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because kids don't talk about anything anyway. I've had kids, and you go, what's the matter with you? Nothing.
Yeah.
And you think, I don't think that's strictly true.
Yeah.
So is it? Are you finding it easier to communicate with them now? Do you find that they come a little bit more open nowadays?
Yeah, quite a few of the people that we've got are very aware of what their mental health is and how it affects their everyday life.
Mm.
So it is easier if people are able to talk about it, but then... You know, I'm not like a mental health nurse or anything like
sure.
that, so I can't push too far on anything. I don't want to open people up and then not know how to close them.
Yes, that's a real challenge. So how do people get referred to you?
So there's a few ways. So other agencies can, sort of the local authority, YMCA, those sort of places.
Mm.
GP surgeries, social workers, / support networks. But people can also self-refer.
Right.
And we don't have, they don't have to have a local connection to come here.
Oh, really? So these aren't just Cambridge people. I mean, presumably they are by and large going to be, because they'll hear about you through the local social services and people like that.
Yeah, but we accept referrals from all over the country. So,
okay. And is Cambridge a particularly good place then to be able to do, you know, because you say you get referrals from all over the country or people come from all over the country. Is Cambridge a good place to be rehabilitated and helped and assisted?
There's quite a few services. So there's a personality disorder team, which is pretty unique to other places. I live in Essex and we don't have that.
Right.
And then there's other sort of specialist services. There's an all-female personality disorder ward, which again, it completely unique to the whole country. So there are the services in Cambridge, and I think young people sometimes don't know that they're out there.
Mm.
So we sort of work as a signposter to those services for them.
Right. Okay. Are you swamped at the moment, or how how are you seeing the things? Because it strikes me that, as I say, people are talking about it more.
Mm.
Is that increasing your caseload a bit?
Not really. Housing is always going to be an issue, I think.
Hmm.
So in the sort of housing department, a lot of people don't have sort of the mental health support needs. It's more that they're street homeless, but they're pretty independent. They need a roof over their head so then they can get back to work or go back into education.
Hmm.
But like I said, with the mental health side of things, these young people are quite aware of their difficulties. And we just help signpost, really.
So. Okay. You were saying you mainly look after them for a period. Is it a maximum of 2 years? Is that sort of written in a charter somewhere or something? Or what happens at the end of 2 years if they're still... Or would you expect to have seen progress in that time?
Yeah. So we don't make people homeless after that two-year period.
Right.
We work with the young person throughout that two-year placement for them to move on positively. So
right.
that could be sort of social housing in the Cambridge area or whichever area. Further education, private rented, so when they first move in, we set them up on HomeLink, which is where they bid for properties in Cambridge, and then as they get further into their placement, we sort of look at more the longer term goal, be that, you know, wanting to privately rent and work or live in social housing or go to university. So it's sort of led by them.
So it's really quite, to me, that's quite encouraging, because if you're one of the people listening to this now, if you're maybe a young, you know, young person, young adult, and you're sitting there thinking, you know, oh, this is exactly what I need. I really need some help. I don't feel safe where I am, or I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. To have a plan that says pretty much within a couple of years, you should, all things being equal and with some effort and some work from you, you should be on the route to that future you always felt you could have. That's to me, that's amazingingly encouraging. And it's not like you can come on a quick 6 week course and you think, hang on a minute, you know, 6 weeks courses I'm sure do a lot of good in some circumstances.
Yeah.
But this is real long term support, taking people and going, look, we've got your hand for 2 years and by the end of that you should be okay. That's amazing. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's the idea, is it?
Yeah.
I think you do an amazing job.
Thank you.
I can see how youngsters listening might think, do you know what? That's just what I need. Because you just, so often it's a sticking plaster fix, and yours sounds like much more than a sticking plaster to me.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
If people want to find out about your services, how do they get in touch? You're saying about self-referring and that.
So we can be contacted via phone, via email. We're on the Richmond Fellowship website under Castle Service, so all of our contact information's on there. I actually deal with the referrals, so people can...
They'll be talking to you then. There you go. You've heard the lady herself. Yeah. And it's not something to be scared about, is it? Or people get ashamed or people get worried, don't they? It's not something to... It's not the case anymore.
Definitely not. These placements only really work if people are honest with each other. If you don't tell us what support you need, we can't help you. There's no shame in any sort of mental health diagnosis, really. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, Felicity, it's been lovely to meet you this afternoon. Thank you. And again, to all you and all your colleagues at Richmond Fellowship, it seems like you do an amazing job across not just one area, across a whole range of areas helping people with mainly mental health issues and learning disabilities. Well done. It sounds great. That website, if people want to get in touch and want to find out more on the website, do you know it? I was rather hoping you had it to hand, because guess what? I don't.
Right. They can have my email address. Go on. They're welcome to my email address.
Go ahead.
So it's felicity.gibson@richmondfellowship.org.uk.
There you go. And the website will be richmondfellowship.org.uk. Yep. Lovely. Yep. Lovely. I'm really sorry that I did that to you, but I didn't have it written down here either. It's first day back for me, and I've been saying to you off air, it's amazing how much you forget, including writing down email addresses. Felicity, lovely to meet you.
Me too.
Well done. Thank you for your work to everyone at Castle and to everyone at Richmond Fellowship. That's Felicity Gibson. She does the sheltered housing at Richmond Fellowship.